6, Jeremiah. She keeps making faces at me because every time she starts the tape, then I make these noises that go onto it. There's also CDs available. Did you guys see that? CDs are out there. I'm just making noise on CD now. Cool. Is that enough? That's why these Bible studies are so long. What were we doing? And it came to pass. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, you and I call them a scroll, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So here in chapter 36, the first three verses, God commands Jeremiah to get a scroll and to write down every message he's ever preached. Since the time you started preaching at about 21 years old with Josiah, the king. Remember, he and Josiah were pretty near the same age. So he's been preaching a long time now. God says, write down all the words since you began this ministry. The fourth year of Jehoiakim, we read there, don't we? Isn't that what came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim? That would be about 605, 604 B.C. What did he want him to do? Get a scroll and write down every word I have said since you have been preaching, since way back in the days of Josiah the king. Write it all down. What was the purpose? Why write it down? Well, so you're going to find the purpose is so that the words could be read aloud to the people. I mean, Jeremiah was preaching, but you remember how he got himself arrested and he couldn't preach much from prison? Right now, he's not necessarily under arrest. But as you read through, you understand that what has happened is, remember the messages that he preached where God told him to go stand in the gate and preach and to go stand right inside the temple? Do you remember those? Let's see hands. Some of you remember those? Oh, both of you. Good. Okay. Well, what happened was those weren't really well accepted. People didn't like what he had to say. So Jeremiah has been kicked out and he is no longer allowed to enter the temple ever again. He cannot go in. So he's going to write it down in a book, and it will be read aloud to the people. Why? Look at what God's logic is. So that when the people hear it, maybe after they hear all the disasters that God has warned them about, maybe, just maybe, they would turn their hearts and their minds back. Maybe, just maybe, if you read it aloud to them, maybe it'll scare them or at least cause them to think and they'll turn back. Have you ever read the book of Revelation? And you see what's coming on this planet? And I've had people tell me, man, I read that and it scares me. Does it scare you enough? I mean, does it scare you enough so that you start to think, oh man, I better straight. Now, I better get with the Lord. I better start crying out to the Lord. I better start reading my Bible. Has it scared you that much yet? Probably not. You know, a little fear maybe, but not, probably not. And what God says, maybe it would change their hearts and their minds. Maybe they would repent. Maybe they would turn from their wicked ways. I'll read it to you again in his language. Verse 3, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do to them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. God is wanting to forgive them. He is wanting them to turn back, and he is already ready to forgive their sins. So Jeremiah, get a scroll, write it in this book, that it'll be read loud publicly to the people. Maybe they'll repent. Well, God knows they won't. But still, do you notice the heart of the living God? He wants to give you another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance. When are you going to take advantage of it? There's, in aviation, a term called the point of no return. You get to a certain point, and it's too far to go back now. You've got to continue on. The scriptures teach us in the New Testament, there is a point, and you can see it with Pharaoh. You can see some examples. There's a point of no return. Once you get out to a certain place, it's too far now to go back. You need to continue on. Pharaoh got there. And the Bible says, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And finally, the Bible says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And it doesn't mean he made Pharaoh's heart hard. It means Pharaoh determined to go that way, and so God finally strengthened him in his own determination. He finally strengthened him in the way that Pharaoh said, I am determined to go this way. God said, then go. Maybe, just maybe, people will hear of the ugliness that's coming and repent and cry out to God for mercy. He continues to reach out to a rebellious people. If they would repent, God would forgive them. Notice that? If they would say, we're sorry, we confess, we have been fools, we are sinners, God would take them right. If the prodigal son would just start to head home, when the Bible says he came to himself, that means in his mind he finally figured it out. And he said, I'm going to go home. When he was not even close to home, the father was looking for him and ran to meet him. God is looking. If you would love to be forgiven, God would love to forgive you. Jesus has already paid the price. God is saying, repent, turn around, come home. What mercy. He would forgive all their stubbornness, all their sin. And the Lord is willing and is able to forgive. And you notice that's his thinking in verses 1 through 3. God hasn't changed. In the Lord God, we read, there is no changing. No variableness, neither shadow of changing. God doesn't change. The things he did in Jeremiah's day, he does today as well. He has not changed. People read the Old Testament and say it was a different God. No, read it and pay attention to it and you'll see he has not, he does not change. God will not change. You can always count on him. And right now, if you say, I want to turn back to God, God has not changed. He would accept you with open arms. He would run to meet you, put a robe on you, a ring on your finger, and shoes on your feet, and they'd kill the fatted calf and there'd be a celebration in heaven. And look at verse 4. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah. And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. I've been booted out, man. I'm locked out. Can't get in. I can't go there. Therefore, you go, verse 6. And read in the scroll, in the roll, in the book, which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. Jeremiah called Baruch. Baruch was a scribe. His job was to write. And so what Jeremiah did was dictated all the words. Write down in this book, in this scroll, Baruch, write it all down. How long is it going to take him to write this down? All right, he gets his little quill or a feather, and he dips in there. It's not like he's got an endless supply of pencils and pens. I mean, this is going to be a chore. Scribes were gifted, and it was a hard job. And he would sit, and Jeremiah would speak, and the scribe would write it down. He couldn't type it. He couldn't record it, and then later on take it at his own speed and try to correct all the things. No, he had to do everything right there on the spot. How long did it take him? Jeremiah's been going for well over 20, 25 years. How long did it take him to write down these messages? A long time. You're looking at months and months and months of scribbling. Once it's written down, you think that the secretary, the scribe, is finished. Jeremiah says, Baruch, I can't go to the temple. I'm not allowed. But this is where we need to read God's word. We need to go right into the house of God, open it up, and read it out loud. Go to church and read the Bible out loud. Baruch, you need to do that. You need to read these words to God's people. Because Jeremiah had been forbidden to go to the temple. Most of the time he was locked up. When he wasn't locked up, he was still forbidden to enter. Why? Because of all those negative messages in the past. He's always preaching gloom and doom. Bad news. And so they kicked him out. That's the way to do it. Nowadays, we're more polite. Well, you don't want to hear the Bible, you quit that church. Go find another one. And there are many, many you can go to. You don't even need your Bible. You don't have to take it with you. You can just go and just, you know, whatever happens, happens. And maybe you hear a little Bible and maybe not. I remember one of the churches, I listened to them on the radio. And when Princess died, you try to say that sometime. 3 weeks, for three Sundays, the messages were about Princess Di. 3 weeks. No scripture. Just what a nice girl she was. And everybody was shocked that she was dead. And I thought, three Sundays in a row, no Bible. It'd be a great place to go. You get your feelings hurt a lot by the Bible. Because notice when we read the Bible, it does kind of prick our hearts. It does kind of offend us because we go, oh, and there's something else I'm doing wrong. Oh, there's me again. Oh, yeah, here we go. Man, I'm a mess. Some people are kind of into that. But a lot of people just don't want to hear it. Judah didn't want to hear it, so they kicked him out. You know, you can't go to church no more. We won't even let you in. Never mind reading the Bible out loud. We're not going to let you in. So Baruch, go to the temple. Read these words to the people out loud in their ears. What's the hope? Once again, that the people would finally listen to it and it would break their hearts. That they would repent and turn back to the Lord. God's mercies never fail. If they would turn, God would forgive. God's mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is great. God here is calling them back home. He's telling them, come home before it's time to close the door. Come home. They're not going to do it, in case you want to know how the story ends. Verse 8. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book of the words of the Lord in the Lord's house, right in the temple, right in church. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. And then Baruch read in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chambers of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. So all those verses are telling us is there was a fast called for the entire nation. And Baruch did just as he was instructed. He took this book, went to church. When all the people were there in church, he opened it up and he read it right there inside the temple, right in the Lord's house, out loud, so the people had to listen. Whether they wanted to hear it or not, the people heard again all these messages, all that the Lord had spoken over the last almost 30 years. Wonder how long it took him to read it. It took him a long time to write it, but I wonder how long it took him to read it. I mean, I wonder if he started and read chapters 1 through 35. And I wonder if you were invited to speak at someone's church next Sunday, if you walked in and said, I'm going to read the first 30 chapters in the book of Genesis. That's all I'm going to do. I wonder how many people would get up and leave. You think people wouldn't? Oh, my gosh. Yes, they would. Oh, wow. Yes, they would. We see them do it. I mean, it just happens. You're going to do what? Going to read? Well, matter of fact, I think we got a little extra time. We're going to read the whole book of Genesis. Probably take us, 3 hours. Well, if they invited you back the following week, you could be sure that only the real Christians would be there, both of them. I mean, because can you imagine over 20 years worth of messages being read out loud there in church? So that, why? Because God so loved those people that he wanted his word to be clear. He wanted them to hear his word. Well, verse 11. When Micaiah, or Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, son of Shaphan, had heard out of the books all the words of the Lord, then he went down to the king's house, to the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there. Elishama, the scribe, Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Verse 14 says, therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of... I've got to turn my page. It's going to be a tough one. Who? Nethaniah. Got it. The son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, unto Baruch, saying, phew, all the princes, they sent, well, I'm trying to tell you, you start reading names, you forget what you read. Sent these guys to Baruch, saying this, take in your hand the roll, the scroll, wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. And, you know, Baruch is probably thinking, uh-oh. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said to him, sit down now, read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Sit down and read that whole thing again. Okay, I will. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid. Both one and other said to Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how did you write all these words at his mouth? Baruch answered and said, he pronounced all these words to me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. How did you do this? He dictated this to me. I sat and listened and wrote everything he said. Then the princess said to Baruch, go and hide. Hide thee, you and Jeremiah, and let no man know where you are. Whew. And Micaiah listened to the words, all the words that were spoken. He went to the royal palace to report what he had heard to the scribes that were working there. Obviously, they weren't at church where they should have been. Then all the officials sent for Baruch, the Bible says, come to the palace. And they asked him to sit down and read the entire scroll to them. Now, you know, they should have been in fellowship, but that's how we all are a little bit. True? The one time we should have been there and the one time God was definitely wanting to speak to us, we sort of want to skip out. And so they said, you know what? We weren't there. Now, we've heard little bits and pieces. Micaiah has told us this. So you know what we need you to do? You know, I don't mean to pressure you, but you need to sit down, relax here, and read the entire thing to us. We need to hear this. We should have heard it before, but okay, we'll read it again. And as he read it, the Bible says they got scared. What are they hearing? God's word. This is going to happen to your houses. This will happen to your children. This is what will take place in all the land. This is what that army will do. It'll come over like a shadow. It'll come over like a storm. It's going to come over. It's going to destroy. This is what's going to take place if you don't repent. They got scared, the Bible says. And the way the Bible says it is they got scared and they looked at each other in fear. Like, oh man. Well, they decided they better report this to the king. Report what? All these words. God's word is really getting the work out. And they say, they ask him, now how did you get this again? Tell us how you got this. We need to be able to tell the king. He said, Jeremiah dictated it to me. I just sat and wrote down what he had to say. It's God's word. So they said, oh, Jeremiah, oh, man, okay, here's our suggestion. Just right at the top of our head, we've seen the king in action. You better go hide. You and Jeremiah, hide and don't tell a soul where you're hiding. If even one person knows, you will be found. That's what they told him. Why hide? Do you remember in chapter 26 of the book of Jeremiah, Urijah? He told the king the word of God and what God had spoken. And the king got so angry, tried to kill him. Remember, Urijah ran away and hid down in Egypt. And they came looking for him and they found him. And they dragged him back to Judah and they put him to death. The king just doesn't like bad news, especially if it's from a so-called prophet of God who's bringing bad tidings. King just doesn't like it. That they remember chapter 26 and they say, you know, here's our suggestion. We've got to tell the king this. But we don't think that you better show your face. You better hide. You'd better hide and tell no one where you are. You won't live. Just hide. So that's what they're going to do. Verse 20 says, they went into the king, into the court. But they laid up the scroll, or the roll, in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe. And they told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the scroll, or the roll. He took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes. That would be the leadership of the nation, which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. They went and told the king. This is a pretty simple story. They went and told the king. And when he heard bits and pieces of what they had to say, he said, where's the scroll? Well, we've got it back over here. Go get it. I want to hear this whole thing. So they brought it out. And they read it. It was the ninth month. Ninth month would coincide with our months of November, December. So it's going to be cold, a little cool. So he's got a fireplace, a fire burning. To keep the place warm, they would cook on it, but it was also designed to keep the place warm. Since it's winter, there's a fire. Verse 23 says this, and it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, that's of the scroll, that you and I would say columns, it's another way to say it. When he read three or four leaves, he cut it out with the penknife the little knife, cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. You notice how it affected the people. Notice how it affected the scribes. It scared them. They looked at one another. They said, "This is frightening. We better tell the king." How did the word of God affect the king? Didn't scare him at all, did it? How did it affect the leadership of the country? Didn't scare them a bit, did it? No respect. No interest in the word of God at all. Read me that. So God says, "This is a sin." They look at you and go, "I don't think it's a sin. I don't care. Tear that page out." So he has the king, has the scribe, tear out, cut out some of the columns, and just burn them in the fire. "I don't agree with that. It's a bunch of garbage. Throw it out." I used to have a Bible that I would use in counseling. I had it back in Colorado. I would use it in counseling. And people would come in with their problems, and I would pull that Bible out on purpose. And I'd say to them, "Well, here's what the Bible says, but you're not living that, are you?" "No." So I'd say, "All right," and I'd tear the page out. "All right, let's just throw that in the trash." And that freaked them. They think, "You're doing that to your Bible." It wasn't my Bible. It was just a fake thing. And I'd say, "Okay, now we'll talk a little further." And then they'd say something, and I'd say, "Well, you know, that goes against the Bible, don't you?" "What do you mean?" "Well, here's what the Bible says here." And we'd open it up, and I'd say, "So you're going against that too." So we tore it out. Just throw it away. "Okay, now, and after the whole counseling session was over, whether we got anywhere or not, I'd say, "By the way, I'd like you to take this now because it works for you. It won't work for anybody else because too much of it's been taken away. Here's what the king did. Cut that out and throw it out. Throw it away. I don't want to hear that." How many of you have had people tell you when you were simply quoting scripture, they've said to you, "I don't want to hear it. Just tear it out. Throw it away." "Oh, okay. Now you can have this Bible because the parts you didn't want to hear aren't there anymore." Look at verse 25. "Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he wouldn't listen to them." They said, "Don't burn this. You know, we don't think you should do this. Don't burn this. This is the word of God." He said, he didn't listen, he burned it. "The king commanded Jerahmeel, the son of Hamalek, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdael," why do they do this to me, "to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them." Go arrest those guys. But the Lord hid them. They were hiding, and they told no one where they were hiding. You know how kids are, don't you? And they want to play hide and seek, and they'll come to you and they'll say, "Okay, I'm going to hide in the basement. Don't look there." Okay. You know, this is life and death here. They didn't tell anyone. It was wise counsel. Go hide. Don't tell. Tell no man. Tell no one where you're hiding. Well, sure enough, the king wanted him. After he read three or four columns, king had him cut that out, throw it away. And the king continued to interrupt him, and he would cut it up, throw it away, cut it up, throw it away, until what? Until the entire scroll had been cut up and burned is gone. It's gone. This was months of their lives, and the word of God is now burned and gone. And the king, the Bible says, showed no fear at all, none. It didn't faze him or his staff. There was no respect, no reverence for the things of God and for the word of God. They just would throw the Bible down and walk on it and just continue on in their lives. As you and I are seeing many, many, many do. Now, we might be guilty because there are times when you and I ignore what God says. We just ignore it. I watched some people do it yesterday. I just watched them. There was an argument going on, and I watched the argument. They completely ignored what God said. I think because everybody was a little upset. Just throw it on the floor and walk over. Just burn it. Because at that point, now we're all saying, no fear, no reverence, no concern. The king just says, burn it. They said, "King, don't do this. You don't want to do this." But he wouldn't listen. He burned it. And he ordered that Baruch and Jeremiah be arrested again. But the Lord hid them. They couldn't find them. See, God's good. Jeremiah's not finished yet. He'll be finished in a little while, but right now he's not finished. And Baruch, his scribe, bummer, guess what he's going to have to do with the next little... Yeah, right. Look at verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the scroll or the roll. And the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord said this, take thee again another scroll. Oh, man. I mean, Baruch was probably thinking, I know what he's going to do. I just know what he's going to do. He's going to ask me to do this all over again, isn't he? He's going to ask me to do. Take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, burned. Oh, man. And you shall say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, this is verse 29, you have burned this scroll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they did not listen. God says to Jeremiah, we've got nothing but time. Do it over again. You see, God is so patient, isn't he? He's going to make sure that his word gets to the people. They can reject it, but he'll make sure that his word is available to the people. Dictate another scroll, Baruch. You know something? Man can burn God's word. We've heard of people, you know, well, during the war, Bibles were taken from people. Today, there are countries, if you are caught with a Bible, you'll go to jail. They'll take those Bibles away and they'll burn them, or they'll compact them, or they'll destroy them somehow so the Word of God is no longer available. Do you think that stops the Word of God by taking the Bibles and burning them? Man can certainly burn God's Word, but you cannot destroy God's Word. You could take this Bible because you've decided I don't really want to live it anymore. And you can throw it in the trash and the trashman will come along and they'll take it. You'll never see it again. But you notice something? God's word will still stand. God's word will still come to pass no matter how many times you throw it away or burn it or do whatever you want to do with it. All that the Lord has spoken will be. That's what he said. So not only did they write everything that was written in the scroll before, but they also wrote some extra now and say this to Jehoiakim. Even after all this, now say this to Jehoiakim. You're not getting away with it. You burned it, but it's still going to take place. Even though you didn't want to hear it, even though you don't want it around you, it still will be. The next time someone says to you, I don't accept the word of God and I don't want to hear it, you can calmly in love say, you know what? It will still come to pass. Whether you choose to listen or whether you choose to stomp on it and ignore it, God's word will still come to pass. Trouble is coming. You can read it in God's word. You can read it out loud to others if you want to. And notice, those additional words were to the king. Because he burned the scroll and refused to listen to the word of God, God says, I'll judge you for that as well. First, no descendants would permanently sit on the throne of David anymore. You are king now, but it stops here. By the way, his son did take the throne for almost 2.5 months. And Nebuchadnezzar put him out of everybody's misery. Second, besides no descendants, second, you would not receive a proper burial. Instead, your body is going to be thrown outside of the city, and the elements and the animals will destroy it and waste it. Third part of the judgment, your children and all your staff will be judged for their wickedness as well. God will bring upon them every disaster that he promised in his word. Everything I said I would do, even though you burned it because you didn't want to see it or hear it, everything I said I would do, I will do. You will be judged. That's guaranteed. And look at verse 32. Then Jeremiah took another scroll, another roll, gave it to Baruch the scribe, son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. You have to be amazed at this Jeremiah and his sidekick Baruch, now his scribe. How often they have been imprisoned, mocked, abused, kicked out of the church, so to speak, where he wasn't allowed to even enter the temple any longer. And still he continues to patiently, although he does cry out, patiently keep doing what God has called him to do. You write it down, Baruch's going to read it again. Well, what if they burn it? We'll write it down again, Baruch will read it again. If you're allowed in the temple, you can read it again. Somebody's going to read it again. God's word will continue to be read. You can arrest people in some of these countries that we read about. You can arrest them and take their Bibles away. But do you notice you can't stop the gospel? How it continues to go on. God's word continues to go on. I hope that you are one of those who is hiding God's word in your heart. Memorizing. And I know you can memorize. I know people say, I can't memorize. If anyone that says that to you, ask them their shoe size. Ask them their address. Ask them their waist. They'll lie, but still. They'll know some kind of number. Yeah, you can memorize. Sure you can. There are tricks to memorization. Music really helps. But it's good to hide God's word in your heart. I'm not suggesting that you have to memorize the entire Old Testament. Although if you could, go for it. To know God's word, to know what God's word says. Because there could come a time, even in our own country, where they won't let you have a little copy. They can't take God's word from you. They can take these and burn those. But you see, God's word will always go forth. Jeremiah obeyed the Lord, dictated to Baruch all the words that the Lord had spoken. And the words that were attached afterwards, about the king. And they're going to read it to the king again, too. Being faithful is all that's required of a steward. You've read that before. You've seen that in the New Testament. That's what's required of us. We're not the ones that carry the responsibility. It's the Lord who carries the responsibility. What he wants from us is simple faithfulness. We're not the greatest at what we do. We are humans, and humans all have feet of clay. We all have weaknesses. We all fall. We all break apart at some place. You may think that you're stronger than others, but you and I, we all have weak spots. You may see your weak spots, you may not, but they are there. And God uses us. We are the clay, the earth. He is the potter. We're the clay. He molds us and he makes us. All we need to do is submit to the potter's hands, and he makes us into a usable vessel. Something he can use for his kingdom, for his glory. And you have Jeremiah who it's been a long time now, and this hasn't been so easy. And he's still ticking, takes a licking and keeps on ticking, doesn't he? He continues to go on. But don't you see that with Samuel? Don't you see that with David? Don't you see that with Jonathan? Don't you see that with Peter and with Paul? Don't you see that with the people, Tabitha? Don't you see that we could just name them all if you want to just think of all the names in the Bible. Don't you see that with God's people, with those who trust in him? Don't you see a real perseverance, a real patience, and a continued walk, just a daily walk with the Lord? Didn't Jesus say, if any man will come after me, let that person deny themselves, take up their cross daily, every day, and follow. Every day is a different day and follow. What if this gets all messed up? Then you know what I'll probably have you do? Sit down and do it again. That took a long time, man. That'll wear you out. Well, it's what I want you to do. Trust me. What a waste of time. Baruch could have said, I'm not writing this down again. It'll just burn it. And then I'll have to hide again. But instead, Jeremiah says, no, grab a scroll and let's just start again. Okay, here we go. You bring the Pepsi. Let's just do it. Or hot tea or whatever they did. Jesus said in John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Listen closely. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, don't burn it. Don't throw it away. Don't close it and set it aside and say, I don't want to hear it. Keep it open and continue in his word. He says, then you are my disciples indeed. And in John 12:48, Jesus said, he that rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. When you get to the book of Revelation, you'll see that the books are opened. The books, the word is plural. I am no Bible expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I still believe that one of those books that will be open, besides the Lamb Book of Life, one of those books that will be open will be God's word. That book will be opened. And Jesus says, he that rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. That is the word that I have spoken. On that day of judgment, there will be people who have rejected, and the Bible will be opened, as well as Lamb's Book of Life. Are you reading your Bible? Are you into the Word of God? John chapter 14, verse 23. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, a person love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If a man love me, he will keep my words. What God has to say, in case you hadn't caught on, what God has to say is very important to God. God holds his word in high esteem. When he speaks something, he means it, and he expects you to know, and me to know, us to know, that he really means what he just said. If he says, I don't want you to go that way, then he really means, don't go that way. It will not be a blessing to you to go that way. If you go that way, you will be sorry. And he meant, don't go that way. When he says this is a sin, he didn't mean maybe later on in the 21st century I'll change my mind and it won't be a sin. No, it's always a sin. If it's a sin, it's a sin. He will never change his mind. And his word will not change to suit the day that you live in. His word will never change. And so he says, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Where are you going to find his words? You're going to find his words here in the Word of God. That's why the devil doesn't want you to read it. That's why it is under attack the way it is today. Even so-called Christians are saying, I don't believe the Bible is accurate. You know why they don't believe the Bible is accurate? Because if it is, we're going to have some changing to do. Aren't we? If this is accurate, we got some lifestyle changes to make, and we can't make them. Of course, this says we don't have to make them alone, that God gives us his Spirit. Jesus said, I would not leave you orphans. I won't leave you comfortless. I'll ask Father, he'll send you the Holy Ghost, another comforter who will take up residence in your life and will walk with you, and he will say, this is the way, walk in it. And by the way, Jesus said, and he will remind you of what I have said. What will the Spirit do? Remind me of God's word. One more before we stop. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. To the Philadelphia church at Philadelphia. Church of Brotherly Love. He found nothing wrong with the church. He has nothing negative to say to the church at Philadelphia. And this is what we read, Revelation 3:8. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. Notice the resurrected Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of the living God, still thinks his word is important. He says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, no man can shut it. You've got a little strength left. You've kept my word. You've not denied my name. Even risen from the dead, Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father, thinks his word is important. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God thinks that we should pay attention to his word. What do you think we should be thinking? We should be thinking the same thing, shouldn't we? That his word is important. Maybe I need to find a little more time to read. Maybe I need to find a way to get some time all alone each and every day to listen to what he says. And when I can't understand it, I tell him, Lord, I cannot understand what you are saying to me. Maybe everybody in the world is smarter than me. Maybe they all get it, but I can't understand what you're saying to me. Please help me to understand. You go in with that kind of heart, you will grow. You will understand. The Lord will teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. That's how important his word is. So Jeremiah and Baruch are going to now spend another bunch of months, probably 6 months or more, writing it down again. Just because God said so, and the word of God needs to go forth, remember to read your Bible to see what God says. Let's bow our heads.